Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did this man inherit a ghost? Haunted objects come in all shapes and sizes, some more surprising than others. Take, for example, this man who inherited a deceased family member's fish tank, only to discover it came with far more than just a couple fish. Did it contain the spirit of his lost loved one, or was it something much darker? Join Tony and Harper for that story and many more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Got to turn the mics on. That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And we are actually recording this episode live on camera. And that means when we're doing this, number one, the phone number is always active and can always be used. The thing is, as we're doing this live on camera, you guys can call in. And I just realized I have to set one more thing up on this computer over here to make that work correctly.
Yay!
So that's what we do when we're doing a show live for the first time. It's to work some of the kinks out and figure out exactly what we need to do. So if you've been calling in, you've probably been going absolutely nowhere. So I'll get that set up here as we go to a recorded phone call. Again, the phone number is 855-853-4802. You can call it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we will get to your calls and your stories today on the episode. It's Tony and Harper with you today. And how you doing being live here today on
Good.
Camera? You combed your hair and everything.
Yes. Also, Christmas season is coming up. Actually, Christmas season is here. So, tell me what you want for Christmas. Spam it in the comments.
Oh, I see. You're asking for what people want on the comments. Yeah. So, yeah, put in your comments what you're looking for Christmas, and we'll talk about some of that throughout the episode today. You got quite a bit underneath the tree right now, just kind of sitting there.
Sure do. I am happy about it.
Any guesses? Anything? You can tell one is a book. You just actually opened one last night.
Yeah.
But
I don't know about like the big boxes, mm-hmm. but I know I'm getting another book.
Yeah. And,
yes.
And probably a lot of other things too.
Yes.
Yes. And probably that bowling ball that you've wanted, the autographed bowling ball.
What?
From Ted, from Ted Newman, who was the professional bowler of the year in 1984.
I don't know who he is.
I have no idea. That'd be a great, crazy gift. And that's an autographed bowling ball there, Clark, you know, because it's like he was a champ back in 84. That'd be a great line to use.
That'd be amazing.
855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And we'll be able to take your calls live here in just a moment. First, I'm going to jump over to this caller and then get that thing set up over in that part of the room.
Let's get to it.
I'm Arizona, and I'm from Washington, D.C., and I want to tell you guys about my first encounter with a real life ghost or what have you. It first started, it was about November of 1989 in the courthouse of Washington, D.C. My family and I were being evicted from our apartment, and we had to go to court to see if they could fix it. So my parents were there. I, myself, and my sister, we were sitting in the waiting room of the courthouse. My sister and I were, our backs were facing a glass. The glass of the back was the security guard. So if you look back, you will see the security guards checking everyone in, and you'll see the screening x-ray system. So I was sitting there. I had on purple pants and a white shirt and a purple coat. The woman beside me, she had an oxygen tank. She was a Caucasian woman. I myself am mixed. She was heavy set. She had a purple dress on that was flowers. And the oxygen tank was really tall, so she had it around her mouth, the part that you have to use to breathe. She had that on. She was breathing really heavy. I heard a knock on the glass. Just three knocks. Knock. Just like that. And I looked back to my right, and she looked back to her left. And we both looked up at the glass behind us, and there was a guy standing there. From what I saw, let me describe him. He was an African-American. He looked about maybe 6'4", 6'5". An older guy. He looked to be about 50s. He was a brown skin complexion, medium brown skin complexion, and he had a hat on, all black. It was sort of like a cape, sort of like what judges wear. He had like a white piece in the middle of his neck that went along with the cape. So he knocked three times. When he did, we both looked back, and she said, "Oh!" I took a big, deep breath and fell on the ground. And then I said, "That guy scared her. The guy scared her." And I put my hands on the glass, and I looked toward the left, the way he was walking, and I was looking for him. I said, "There he is. He's there." So I ran out of the court room, and I looked over to the left, and I saw him walking, but you can only see his back, and his arms were swinging. And his coat, it made his cape swing. And so I said, "That's the guy who scared her. That's the guy who scared her." The security guards, there were two of them, they were just staring at me because they didn't see anything. And my sister, who was beside me, she said, "I didn't hear anybody knock." I said, "That guy knocked on the glass. He scared her. He scared her." And then I just kept saying it over and over. "He scared her. He scared her. That guy." And everyone was just staring at me, all of the adults. And one of the adults yelled out, "Get those kids out of here." They called the ambulance, and they got us out. So we went outside to sit down. But as I was looking, I kept telling the security guard, "Did you guys see a guy come in with all black? He had a black cape." And they didn't say anything. They were just staring at me. And we left out to go, me and my sister. I was about 12 years old. My sister was about 13. So we went outside and sat down. Never saw the guy again. I don't know if the woman had passed away or not. But I do remember she had on a purple dress with flowers. She was a heavyset woman with an oxygen tank. And I also had on purple pants, a white shirt, and a purple coat. And when the guy came and knocked on the glass, he knocked three times, which made both of us look back. I looked to my right. She looked to her left. She said, "Oh!" and just fell on the ground, and they started to do CPR or something on her. Now, I was 12 years old, but I can remember like it was yesterday. And that was my first encounter with ghosts. And I'm Ramona Williams from Washington, D.C. Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing that story with us.
Now, the kind of sounds like something a ghost, like just like something from Ghostbusters.
How so?
Just like that. Sound effect, just like
I mean, what an experience to have. I mean, and obviously a very impactful one as well.
Also, how did you know how to do CPR when you were like 12?
You can learn. I mean, you, like, there's a lot of kids that are going to be lifeguards around that age sometimes, and
got a point there.
So yeah, I mean, you can learn that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. You can call in live right now. Watching this online, if you're listening to the podcast version of it, obviously you can still call that number 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But if you're watching us as we're streaming and we're recording this on Facebook, call in live. We'd love to hear your ghost story. Just, you'll dial in, you'll hang out there, and then we'll get to you. So just hang out on hold until we go over to you. Again, 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to a story.
Yay!
It says, hello, Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm writing into you from New Zealand. Let me blow up this text here because it's easier to read it that way because I'm 84. let's see here. I like to get it like a teleprompter so I can read it that way. Okay. We are a young country with not as much paranormal energy as other places. Most engagements with the spirit world are here and brought from overseas with either haunted objects or people or awakened by occult activity from the living. This is where my family comes in. I remember as a child, almost every single night, I'd wake up during the night, often on the floor, and always too petrified to move because of an overwhelming sense that someone was in the room with me. It would be bad for them to notice that I was awake. I just believed it was a normal nighttime experience. The movie Monsters, Inc. came out. In the film, monsters are assigned to various kids around the world, and it's their job to scare their assigned kids. There's also a monster called Randall who has the ability to basically turn invisible and scare kids. Anyway, my sister once told me, I think Randall is my monster. I asked her why, and she said she often felt invisible, an invisible person sitting on her bed. She'd feel the mattress depress and the sheets pull across her legs. Shortly after, she told me this. I also began feeling these sensations in the night, and it really felt like a person was sitting on the bed. Assigning this invisible presence to be a character from a Disney film certainly made it easier not to be scared. Another night, I woke once again and witnessed an apparition in my bedroom. I peeked out at my room, dimly lit by my small nightlight, and saw a woman in a flowing red dress, totally transparent, like she was a hologram. My child mind thought she was a princess, and her updo kind of reminded me of Star Wars characters. Looking back, I believe this is distinctly 1900 to 1910 style hair and dress. Remember her seeming like she was waiting for something, pacing about the floor with restrained anxiety. Her proper ladylike demeanor, fighting with some kind of inner worry or urgency, betrayed in her hasty and sudden movements. She didn't make me feel afraid at all, and I watched her until I fell back to sleep. Cut to my adulthood, late in my 20s, and my father gathered the family for a talk, my mom, sister, and myself. He said he felt guilty for a long period of bad fortune our family had been facing, primarily financial and health related, and confessed that he had a history of dabbling in the occult, which he believed may have cursed us somehow, especially since his health was worst affected of us all. We chatted about his past, and he revealed that he practices a medium for a time, not professionally, but among his occultist friends. They used Ouija, seances, and other means to contact the dead. It was all very fun for him at the time until a couple of spirits decided to attach themselves to him. He talked about some of his bad experiences with Ouija and how dark figures would spook him in dark places. But my attention was grabbed when he was listening. Some of the spirits he remembers, he raised his fingers and made air quotations saying, "The woman in the red dress," a title he and his friends once used for the spirit. I stopped it right there. "Woman in the red dress?" I quizzed him about this spirit, and he revealed he had spent a good while communicating with a dead woman who would appear in a flowing red dress. The memory of my childhood came back to me, and I told him I had also seen the woman in the red dress. I described the dress, supposing it was 1900s era, and he became spooked, agreeing that his description sounds the same as his. And when I described her hair and mannerisms, he just sat back in his chair, jaw dropped. We were certain at that moment, this same spirit who had been communicating with my dad had also visited me once at night during my childhood. Of course, the more malicious and frightening entities he had been dealing with grew to be too much for him, and he gave up all occult practices, seeking refuge in Christianity, and devoting his life to a new faith. He had hoped this would free him from the evil that he had encountered from the past. Perhaps it has, but every now and then, something seems to stop by for a quick visit. In my case, it was the lady in the red dress. But unfortunately for my sister, she encountered a terrifying shadow person, and she does not want to share details. We speculate that some latent psychic abilities run in our family, as my sister has experienced prophetic dreams. Well, I have a gift for dream interpretation, and we had both had instances where we have moved objects slightly or snuffed a candle using telekinesis. Nevertheless, we neither want nor care to explore these potential abilities further. It's too risky to attract that kind of attention. But at the end of the day, I can't help but wonder. I could write for much longer in detail about individual and unconnected paranormal incidents, but we have all experienced. But for brevity, I will quickly list a couple of outstanding examples below. Staying at Grandma's house and seeing the silhouette of a hat-wearing man in the moonlight. I thought he looked like Zorro. Mom told me she had used to see him when she was a kid, and it was her childhood home. We both laughed when she said as a kid she thought he looked like Zorro, too. Grandma's cat calling hello throughout the night. Perhaps not paranormal, but nobody believes me. Raspy breathing under the bed at night, also at Grandma's house, using the restroom at my parents' church, looking over to see a fuzzy, transparent shape of a human head and shoulders immediately next to me while I was peeing. The thermometer in my fish tank appearing stuck on the other side of the tank. This is unusual since it's a suction cup to the glass. Pulling it off is quite difficult, and its head slid across the glass, say if a fish had pushed it along. It could not have turned around corners without losing suction and sinking. Everybody denies having moved it. Nobody has a motive. Mom is legitimately spooked by this mystery. The previous owner of the tank, the old friend of mine, had a history of involving demonic possession, but I don't want to jump to conclusions. Thank you guys so much for reading my story. I hope it was entertaining in some way or another. Y'all are the best.
Kids, don't play with the Ouija boards. We should get in a Ouija board bell.
A Ouija board? We got the bunk bed bell.
Can this also double as an Ouija board bell? Because otherwise...
I guess. We should have like a Ouija board foghorn or something. I think that might be, you know, where it's like every time there's the Ouija board, it's like... that sort of a thing. It'll be good.
I like the bell.
Yeah. Well, it's already assigned to the bunk bed. So.
But it can double as a Ouija.
Okay. Well... we'll see. I'm pretty strict on my bells around here. So, thoughts on the story?
What? Just why was your dad doing occult stuff?
I don't know.
Your dad should be taken to jail.
I was wondering, you know, when they were going there with that, and they were saying, you know, dad wanted to sit us down and talk. I was thinking it was going to be something along the lines of like, dad's, you know, has a health issue or something and he wants to tell everybody. Not, by the way, I feel guilty. I've been into the occult for all these years. I mean, that's just kind of, you know, I'll tell you right now, you never have to worry, honey. There'll never be a time where I sit down and go, by the way, been doing a lot of occult stuff up in the attic, you know. No.
That's one that, if that, I swear, if you were to say that to me, I'd be like, 911, what's your emergency?
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, my dad's.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's try this and let's see if we got a caller on the line. Are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh my goodness. My name's Chris. I'm calling from Massachusetts.
Well, Chris, welcome to the show. You got a ghost story for us?
I do, but I just want to say I've been a fan for years now, and I've never talked to you guys, so it's amazing.
Well, thank you.
I do have a story.
I appreciate that so much, and thanks for calling in. This is kind of our new experiment. We got this whole new camera set up in the studio that we're going to do a lot with in this next year. So this is kind of our test run. So congratulations. You're the first live caller of our new test run in the studio.
And I'm an EPP as well.
Awesome.
I am totally an EPP. I have been, and I'm just so... And I apologize. That's my office phone. I'm gonna actually take it off the hook. Hold on one second.
They don't need you. Yes. Ghost stories are far more important than work.
They're way more important. It's Friday. I shouldn't be working.
Exactly.
Anyway. You know I'm just going to go in a different room.
Okay.
I do have a ghost story.
Okay.
So, okay, you ready?
Ready.
Okay. So I moved into my house. I bought it a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very old house. It's 1874. And it hadn't been lived in for 3 years before we moved into it. In fact, and this is kind of crazy, not a ghost related thing, but, we found a dead cat in the basement when we bought it.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, so that's an aside, but anyways, we had to do, this is sort of prototypical to ghost stories, but we had to do a number of renovations on the house, when we purchased it. And among the renovations, we had to rip up all the old carpeting. It was hideous. I had to paint everything and even had to knock down a wall. It needed a lot of repairs. And almost immediately when we were moving into the house and we were sort of relegated to one room, me first would hear footsteps upstairs. My girlfriend would hear talking, particularly in one of the rooms upstairs. She experienced, I think, more of the auditory issues, and I it didn't happen as much to me. One particular occasion that was really frightening for her and actually caused us to get some help was she was in the shower at one point. And she actually felt her get pulled, which really shook her up. And we ended up calling a local ghost hunter, a local ghost group. And being that it was during COVID, they it was hard for them to come over.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the guy, his name was Tom. He said, "Put me on speaker," and we put him on speaker, and he said something to the effect of, you know, these people, you're scaring them. You know, we understand you might not be trying to hurt them, but you're scaring them. You're not welcome to do that, et cetera. And ever since then, we haven't had anything happen. When we first moved into the house, very frequently we'd hear walking around and the whole nine. Pretty disconcerting, especially from her, since she felt her hair get pulled.
Yeah, I mean, when you look back on this, what do you feel? I mean, do you feel like it was just kind of, you know, a human spirit that was wandering around and you guys kind of made your peace and now it's stopped? Or, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. So I'm an attorney, and being an attorney, I have to look everything up. And I bought one of those historical, I don't remember, like Ancestry, something like that.
Yeah.
And I looked back and I actually discovered that two people had actually died in the house. One of them, a guy in, I think, 1937 moved into the house with his first wife, and she died in 1940. And then he died in 1955. In the house,
mm-hmm.
there was an article for both of them. So I've always gotten the sense that it's them.
Mm-hmm.
There's we heard stories about the guy. He was there's even an article about him getting robbed on the property back in 1945.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I get the sense it was probably them. It was built just after the Civil War, so I don't get the sense that the spirits are gone, but I do get the sense that, you know, maybe they don't want to mess with us.
Maybe so. I mean, very interesting that you had that experience and then it all kind of just, you know, wound down and stopped. The property itself, do you still live there?
We do live there. We're actually selling the property with this interesting market that we may never be able to take advantage of again. And we're actually buying another property that was, in fact, built in 1874.
So you're going for the haunted homes. Now, are you listing it on the MLS as haunted?
You know, it's funny you say that, Tony, because I would totally be intrigued and probably pay above the value, but but my realtor has advised me that for some people that might sound weird. So I'm it's begrudgingly, I have it.
It's a niche market. You're going after a very small group, but you can get a higher dollar. I have no idea. I don't know if that would work or not. I have wondered about that though.
Maybe it's also the black market.
I did notice the Conjuring house was listed for $1.2 million or something like that.
I'm interested to see if anybody goes for that.
Take my money.
If only I had that kind of money, I would buy it too.
Exactly. Well, thank you for the story. Yeah. A very creepy one. Do appreciate it and appreciate you listening for so long.
Absolutely. I'll be back. I got more stories, but I'll save them.
All right. Sounds good. You guys, take care and have a happy holiday. 855-85-
You too. Both of you.
Thank you. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. How did the phone go flying? Did I move this and
no.
It went flying or what?
It just went flying.
Well, we have it on video. Did you knock it or something?
No.
Okay.
I didn't see anything knock it. That's creepy.
Because it just went down here when I was reaching over here. That's why I figured maybe this.
Scary, scary. No. Because if it was right there, then like that wouldn't be able to hit it.
Well, we'll review the video and find out.
Spooky, scary skeleton and shivers down my spine.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We're doing it live today. Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from? And they're gone.
It's a spam caller.
No, it wasn't a spam caller. I think it was somebody that maybe at the last second didn't want to talk. I don't know. Let's try this one. Hi.
Hello.
What's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello? Is anyone there?
Yeah.
Anybody there?
Hello?
All right. I don't think we got anybody in that one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's jump over to one of these calls over here. And if you still want to talk to us live, go ahead and dial in and we can jump over to you right after we hear this ghost story. Hi, let's hear it.
Hello, Brewskies and friends. I'm listening to the podcast today all about my health in the grocery store, and it's Harper and Tony. Today's date is June 12th, maybe. Anyway, they're debating on whether, like, if you know something that you should go tell that person if you have a sixth sense that it's so intense that it's pretty dead on, you know, I hate to use that word, but dead on. There are some things that you cannot be told. There's just something that cannot be told. And this is my experience, not because of me, but because of my daughter. Like, sometimes she'll say, Mom, I had a dream last night, because she sees premonitions and things that are happening, and everything is inaccurate. And she's able to tell me some. And then if I'm like, if I haven't heard anything for a couple of days, I'll say, you know, have you heard a dream, you know, with so-and-so in it? And she's like, you know, yes, of course, but, you know, I can't tell you everything. And I'm like, so finally one day, and this is the very beginning, it didn't take long because I'm nosy. I was like, why could you not tell me? And she's like, because some things you just can't change. It has to happen that way. So even when we think we're being told everything, we're not. There's always a bigger picture, and it's always a greater picture. And sometimes it's hard to see that, but it is. And my daughter reminds me of that, and she's so smart at that age, and it's such a blessing. And I know that has to be work of a higher power. Thanks, and have a blessed day.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. What are your thoughts?
Well, the higher power thing, you're always not going to be told what you the thing you're being told.
Okay.
With ghost stories. A lot like Conjuring.
Mm-hmm.
The Conjuring movie series. There's always a bigger picture. They're just like, with the whole Conjuring series, you know how they spew in a whole bunch of cheesy parts that like manipulate the story that didn't actually happen?
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what people do with their stories.
You're saying people, when they tell their ghost stories, you think that they embellish them sometimes?
Yes.
Okay. I wouldn't say everybody does. I think a lot of times the stories are just, you know, a prime example is Andrea, you know, from The Conjuring, where her real story, you know, when you sit and talk to her and she shares what actually happened, that's actually far scarier than the movie itself. She didn't have to embellish anything there because it's so raw. And real. So that your point is that what? That the reality is sometimes scarier than what's being told?
Yes.
Okay. I was getting you the other way. I thought you meant people would over exaggerate. I think sometimes people do, but sometimes it's usually easy to tell.
Yeah.
At least I don't know. I can usually tell that pretty quick. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. As we kind of do this live thing today, we're going to do a lot more of this in the studio. So if you're not following us on Facebook, please do so. That's where we're mainly going to be broadcasting out to. Probably try our YouTube channel as well at some point.
Yeah.
But it's all of us here in the studio. You can even see Sting the dog as we do this broadcast here today. We're going to wrap things up for today's episode of the program. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get bonus episodes of the show and all of the extras that come along with it. All the shows commercial free. Until next time, for all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.